thank you all for joining us this evening for our World Peace Diet Circle. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and today is May 15th, 2014. It's about 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern here, and wow, we really have had quite a month. It seems like every month, really, to me, when I look at the amazing progress that we're making in the vegan movement, as well as the, also, I think in many ways, the enormously challenging situation that we find ourselves in, also as a society, with the just this inertia of killing millions of animals every day for food and the underlying violence that requires. So I'm really grateful that there are other people on this planet who, like me and like Madeline and like Lily, of course, on Sunday night, and all of you really, have a sensitive awareness and consciousness about the fact that this is unnecessary and each one of us can make a huge difference. And I think that you're among the ones who are really making such a positive difference in our world, because there's a sense, I think, with this group, the World Peace Diet Circle, that it's not simply enough to go vegan, but to also develop skills and abilities to help be an effective advocate for this. And there's so many ways that we can do that. So I want to thank all of you for answering the call and literally and figuratively and symbolically and being here, that we join together in consciousness. And as you know, we normally at the beginning take just a moment before we dive into the issues and the news and the thoughts and feelings that we're sharing, just take a moment and give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together and to feel our connection with the beautiful planet Earth and all that the Earth represents, this bountiful, abundant, miraculous, splendid manifestation of creativity and abundance and love here. Just love seeing the birds and the trees and the flowers and the new beings that are celebrating their lives here, the babies of all species coming on, and the mystery of existence that we're all facing, really, in the short time that we have here, and giving thanks for the precious opportunity of a human life, for all the others who are making an effort in their lives to raise awareness as well, and to awaken to the truth that we are. And we give thanks to everyone who's gone before and who will come after us in this much larger mission that we share. It could be voices for a world of sanity and freedom and joy and peace and abundance, creativity and awareness and loving kindness. And what veganism really is, at a deep level, is ahimsa, the ancient core of all the world religions and spiritual teachings of kindness and compassion, that as we harm others, we harm ourselves. As we bless others, we bless ourselves. And so we bless others not to bless ourselves, really, but to bless them. And but it always comes back. So that's the great gift of understanding, I think. And the problem, of course, is that we seem to have been born into a culture that doesn't understand these things. But we give thanks knowing that together we are creating a world of greater awareness and freedom and peace, and that everything we do does make a difference. So, thank you for joining us, and I'd like to go ahead and jump in. I remind everyone at the beginning, of course, that if you're on the call, you are invited to participate however you'd like to do that. One way of participating is to be a active listener, and that's terrific. And another way, of course, in addition, is if you'd like to make any comments or suggestions or have a question or concern, share a victory or or a defeat or apparent concern that maybe you have. I think there's a tremendous synergistic potential in the community that we have together, because we have a foundation not only of having a heart for compassion for non-human animals, but also a sense that we live as human beings in a spiritual world. I mean, that our life is about spiritual awakening, not simply working in a mechanistic kind of a framework. And to me, this is where the real power lies, that we understand that the work of transformation really begins with ourselves and then radiates from there in our relationships with one another and spreads out ever enlarging ripples, really, into the whole web of life. So that's a beautiful image. Madeline and I went down to the lake here a couple of days ago, and I just deliberately threw a small rock into the lake and watched the ripples go. It's just kind of a neat thing to do. And it's amazing how well water transmits ripples, how far, I kind of went on and on and on, many yards out, you know, they kept going. And I think that's a good metaphor for our own lives. We don't realize it very often how profoundly we do impact others in our actions. Of course, take out our wallets and pay for things, that's a huge impact we have right there. And that's one of the main things, of course, in going vegan, is to bring our lives into alignment with our values and try to send out ripples in our consuming patterns that are in alignment with our ideals. It's not about trying to be perfect. It's just simply about doing the best we can to minimize violence to others, to ecosystems, and to the animals and other people and future generations. Madeline, we just came back up actually from taking a little swim, and Madeline was reminiscing how when she came over from Switzerland, and I was living in a 1971 Volkswagen bus at that point, and all I had were these little tiny little towels. They were so small, like little, I guess what you'd call little hand towels, and that was what I used. You know, every time I took a swim, or which was every day, I would, you know, get one of these little tiny hand towels, and she said, when I came over, you had one little hand towel for both of us after we went swimming. And she said, I'm really living with a monk here, you know, you just don't accumulate anything. And, of course, you know, I said, I think there's something really beautiful, at least in my heart, my feelings anyway, about living a life, a minimalist kind of life. I mean, where, you know, just having fun, enjoying oneself, and buying the least amount possible, in a sense, or being able to recycle as much as possible and not have big, extravagant things around everywhere. And, you know, there's a tendency, I think, in our culture to just accumulate a lot and to have a lot and to think we need so many things. And I discovered when I was in Korea, and living as a Zen monk, and when I was living on the road in the Volkswagen bus, and when I was living just walking, but I had everything in my backpack, how little we really actually need to live. And it's a very liberating experience, I think, to just do without so much stuff. And I think that's definitely in alignment with the vegan values of kindness and compassion for others, because a high consumer lifestyle that needs a lot of energy, a lot of electricity, a lot of inputs from metals and wood, and you know, all that stuff, you know, displaces animals, and just really it's a price we pay in our economic system. The way the accounting system is done in general minimizes that, and corporations strive always to externalize the costs so that we don't actually pay for that. When we buy things at Walmart or wherever we buy them, typically the true cost of things, and that's really true, of course, with animal foods and products. It's well known that without government subsidies of massive levels, and without, you know, really vegans pay, you know, much more than we should be for our foods, because they're not subsidized. You know, only less than 1% of the government subsidies go to fruits and vegetables and nuts, and most of the government subsidies, talking billions of dollars go to meat, dairy, and eggs, and there's many other built-in tax advantages and all kinds of things, huge benefits to ranchers. It's been set up that way. And so the economics of this, I think, is essential to understand. And going vegan is actually, I think, overall less expensive, actually, physically, when you're even buying, I think, whole foods. Of course, whole foods in general are less expensive than processed foods. Organic, of course, is more expensive, but ultimately it's less expensive, I think, in terms of our health, of course, is better. And, in fact, there's an article in the resources here for this month of May. You can see, I think it's towards the end, but I just thought it was interesting. It was something about, eating organic foods reduces pesticide exposure nearly 90%, a new study that was done. So just on that level, even though it seems more expensive to buy organic, you're not only reducing your own exposure to pesticides by 90%, it's also a vegan thing to do because these toxic chemicals are devastating to wildlife and animals, various kinds of insects and so forth. So, but the basic idea is that it's inexpensive to be a vegan generally, but it should be way more than it is. And, as I say, in the World Peace Diet, I think it's probably even more so now. But the basic idea is that a hamburger would be cost more like $30 at least a pound. And the dairy industry, of course, gets huge subsidies as well. So to just being aware of these things, I think, as vegans is very helpful to us because we realize that we are living in a healthy way. It's healthy not only for ourselves but for our entire society, economically as well as culturally. And even though we're not thanked for that, in fact, very often we're just the opposite. We're sort of criticized for being vegans, either directly or indirectly. We're actually making life much better for everybody else, whether they realize it or not, because we're effectively reducing the footprint of our entire society. And I think the more people that understand that and move in that direction, the better. There is, by the way, some of you may be aware of it, a brand new movie coming out called Cowspiracy. I have not seen it, but I was interviewed for it, and I will be. I'm in it. I mean, I'm in this movie. I just know that because I went to the Indiegogo campaign site. Some of you probably have seen that, where they're trying to successfully raising the money they need to bring this movie out. And I highly recommend supporting Cowspiracy, the movie. It's made by Kip Anderson. Kip Anderson and Keegan, his partner, this guy Keegan. I can't remember his last name, but Kip is a World Peace Diet facilitator. He went through the program a few years ago, and so he's really one of us. And I remember, and I asked Kip actually if he could work with me on making a movie about the World Peace Diet. And he said, well, I'm working on this little project first, but as soon as that's done, definitely we're going to work together on that for sure. Yep. It'll be done in a few months, he told me. Well, it turns out that little project he was talking about is this movie, Cowspiracy, which has become a huge project. And it's really, they raised all the money they were trying to raise, which was substantial. I can't remember what, like $50,000 or $60,000. I think they're up to like $80,000 now or something like that. So, and they're just thrilled. They'll be able to produce the production of the movie and also apparently get it in subtitles in foreign languages and voiceovers in foreign languages so they can do a whole, not only in the United States, but in Europe as well, release it. And Cowspiracy is basically a movie about how the environmental movement, Sierra Club and Friends of the Earth and Rainforest Action Network and the Wildlife Wilderness, whatever it is, the Wilderness Society and all these sort of mainstream environmental organizations are actually actively covering up the massive environmental devastation that animal agriculture is causing and contributing to the devastation of the oceans and rainforests and rivers and streams and the climate breakdown and species extinction. And that the most important thing anyone can do if we care about the earth is to go vegan, to move to a plant-based diet. So it's great to see this movie doing so well, I think, in the pre-release stage, getting a lot of people to support it, and bring this vital message to the world, because it's been going on. It's been ridiculous. I mean, it's been so ridiculous to see these so-called environmentalists who eat meat and dairy, and especially when they do so-called organic or free range, which is actually probably even worse, not only for animals but for the environment. Now, for example, grass-fed beef has been well documented to be much worse for the for global climate change. It creates a lot more carbon dioxide and methane equivalents. Methane really is the worst thing than feedlot beef, and of course feedlot beef is terrible already. So grass-fed is even much worse. And all of this stuff's coming out. And also, actually, I just found out today that I've been invited to the opening screening, the world premiere of Cowspiracy, which is going to be in San Francisco. Guess what? It's going to be in San Francisco on the third Thursday of June, next month. So we're going to have to, unfortunately, we're going to have to reschedule our, I think we'll have it on Friday. So it'll be on the third Friday next month. Because the grand opening is going to be then, and I've been invited not only to attend, so I'll actually get to see the movie, but afterwards you're going to be having a panel discussion. And there's three people, myself and Richard Openlander and John Robbins. I guess all three are in the movie. And we'll be discussing the implications of, I mean, I'll be discussing anyway, I'm sure, the implications of veganism and compassion for animals, for not only for climate change, but for how we can create a new, more sane and sustainable world for ourselves. And I know Richard Openlander is wonderful. His book, Comfortably Unaware, he just wrote a new book. He sent me a copy of it. It's great. And John Robbins, everybody knows John Robbins. I kind of wish he was a little more, actually, specifically, promoting veganism than he does, but he's still, kind of a mainstream draw, which I think is fantastic too. So, anyway, that's kind of a big deal. I think it's a movie that I think could really start a movement. Al Gore has now gone vegan, which is a good sign, and the connection between eating animal foods and the absolute utter breakdown of our climate, which could cause the extinction of humanity within a few decades, really, and it's without some kind of massive change that will happen, actually. I mean, I hate to say it, but that seems to be where we're headed here. So we really need to make significant changes quickly. I think that's becoming more and more well understood. And, quite honestly, I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm working on, I've already written an article. It's too controversial. I still haven't gotten the courage up to actually publish it anywhere. But basically, there's a lot, the information that's been withheld from us, really, is that the polar ice caps are melting so quickly. The methane positive feedback loops have kicked in so strongly that we really need probably help from the outside, I'm thinking, from so the ETs. I don't think we humans have really, with our animal agriculture, have just pushed this poor planet beyond the edge. There's evidence, I guess, that some of the ETs, I hate to talk about this because it sounds so wacky, but on the other hand, there's huge evidence that we're not the only ones in the universe here, and that they do love the Earth, certain ones, and will try to protect it. So there's a new book I heard that just came out by John Mack, who's a very highly acclaimed psychologist from Harvard, very highly respected psychologist from Harvard, and he's just written a book about this, called Abducted. I have not read it. I don't know much about it. But he basically says that Western science has such a narrow and ridiculously constricted set of blinders on about the nature of reality, an ontology that just absolutely doesn't include any other dimensions or possibilities than this narrow physical dimension. And it's really going to be looked at in the future as being a quaint, kind of like how we look today, we look back on when people thought that the Earth was the center of the solar system and everything went around the Earth, and, you know, how quaint, how backward, how awkward, you know, those people were to think that the whole universe went around the Earth. And, you know, it's just as absurdly awkward today. The scientific worldview today is exactly the same. This rationalistic, mechanistic, materialistic worldview we have is so childishly limiting. It's ridiculous. And really, it comes out of a culture that's unfortunately enslaved by animal agriculture. And when people are enslaved by animal agriculture and unable to really authentically connect with their own true nature, with the fundamental wellsprings of wisdom and joy and creativity and intuition and deep spiritual understanding that really are our true nature, then we become basically shallow, mechanistic, robotic cogs in an industrialized machine that's run for the benefit of a few wealthy, powerful corporations and elites and families. And no one ever looks up. No one ever looks up and sees the sky, you know, sees the chemtrails everywhere and wonders why we have that, and sees the devastation to the oceans and to the climate and to the air quality and water quality and so forth. And the fact that the mass media is so controlled by the same people that we really don't get the news of what's happening. We get a bunch of lies. So I think a lot of what veganism is about essentially is questioning not just what we're eating for food. I guess that's where it starts in many ways. When we start to see a piece of meat is not a piece of meat, that's actually a cow, that's a pig, that's a being like me. You know, sort of suddenly our eyes open and the scales fall away and we realize things are not what they were meant to be. And I wrote an article recently, I think some of you are aware of it, where I said veganism is a second birth. You know, and like any birth, it's painful and traumatic, it's a stress. You get a squeeze through the birth canal, and so a lot of people are afraid of taking that, of being born, you know, being born again. I think it is in many ways like a spiritual conversion, actually. But it's painful because we suddenly realize that this comfortable culture that we were born and raised in, that we sort of take for granted and kind of identify with, is actually incredibly viciously blind and devastating to other living beings and to ecosystems, and really to ourselves, you know, that we really have to question it at a very deep level. And I think when we start down the path of veganism, if we are really true to the spirit of veganism, then we start questioning everything at a deeper level. And I unfortunately do not see a lot of vegans really doing that for whatever reason. I see a lot of vegans, of course, sort of still stuck pretty much in mainstream paradigms and doing activism in that same way, which, you know, is okay, obviously, but I'm thrilled that there are people like you who are open to the spiritual dimension, open to questioning some of the other underlying assumptions about the nature of reality. But I think the most important thing, really, is to just look deeply into the cultural program that forces us to see others, other beings as mere things, as objects, as physical, just merely meat, merely a thing that was born and will die. And that is what's essentially the subtext of every meal, is that. And the mass media in general is pushing that idea on us all the time through the pharmaceutical ads that we can somehow be healed by toxic chemicals. And there's nothing more absurd than that. And in my own background in spiritual healing, I can say that I think it's a general principle that if someone has some kind of a disease or illness, that's basically it's caused by some deeper disease or illness within the being of that person, emotional repression of some kind, unfaced issues, and so forth. So it'll manifest as some kind of physical symptoms, typically. And if we use some kind of outer intervention to suppress that, a surgery or drugs or something, without dealing with the underlying issue, which is very important to deal with that. If we just merely suppress it, which is what we're taught to do in our society, because that's what makes the corporations and the financial institutions keep power and control, then we maybe successfully suppress the outer symptoms. But I would say a general principle is that you will get at least two new things will come out of that. You know, you press it down one place and it'll pop up two, not in one other place, but probably in two other places. So you press both of those and it's going to come up in two more, or maybe four more. So it's really an addiction that we're in many ways encouraged in our society to look at everything at a material level, to trust like little infants, because we're, you know, the whole meat and especially dairy, but the whole meat, dairy, and egg industry is based on infantilizing us as human beings, making us into infants where we don't question what we're doing. We don't see the deeper connections of what we're doing. We don't recognize what, in fact, we're doing. We keep drinking milk even when we're adults, like we're little children. And so we trust the authorities. We trust the pharmaceutical industry. We trust the corporate agencies, the governmental agencies, the authority figures. And what veganism is about, I think, more than anything, is really actually questioning everything, especially with the authorities. So don't, if you look at me as an authority, don't believe anything I'm saying. Let me find out. We have to find out for ourselves, I think, what's really right for us and connect with our intuition. And I think this is where we find the greatest freedom coming. So the revolution that's coming, I think, the benevolent revolution of veganism, is a revolution that is more of an evolution than a revolution. I think it's an evolution that doesn't have any leader, in a sense. It doesn't have a particular person that's kind of leading the charge. It's really a whole rising in humanity's awareness. And movies like Cowspiracy, I think, are just one of many manifestations of this. And we see so many more happening. I mean, the whole movement is just, it's just, I think, in many ways, just exploding in a very positive way with new documentaries, new books, new articles, new movements and groups and so forth. And it's important, I think, more than anything for us as individuals who are part of this movement to make an effort to understand it as deeply as we can and to live it ourselves as well. So besides that Indiegogo campaign, I want to... And by the way, press *6 if you'd like to ask a question or make any comment or anything like that. Please, just feel free to press *6 and then I'll be happy to do that. But there's been another, actually at the very same day, on Earth Day, both the Cowspiracy and Vegan Publishing, Vegan Publishers, which is based in Massachusetts, launched a campaign on Indiegogo. They for their new film and Vegan Publishers for the new book called Circles of Compassion. And you probably are all aware that I am the editor of that book, so it's been kind of like my baby for the last maybe, I guess I really took it on in maybe October. And so I've been gathering different writers who write on the theme of social justice issues in relationship to animal abuse of the animals. This to me is another thing. Like Cowspiracy is a whole documentary about how all these different environmental groups and the environmental movement in general ignores the tremendous impact of animal agriculture on the environment, and sort of gives the idea that we can still keep eating meat and dairy and have a healthy environment, which is a very toxic message and wrong. And so Circles of Compassion is a book that's aimed specifically at the social justice movement and the environmental movement, I mean, basically all justice movements, and showing, I think, very clearly that we cannot make any progress or significant progress in any area if we don't address the systemic violence towards animals for food. That this is the underlying fury. This is the root of the dilemmas that we're having. So we have basically 28, I think now actually have 29 authors who have written essays for this, and they're great people. I mean, you probably know a lot of them, Colleen Patrick Goudreau and Richard Openlander and Melanie Joy and, gosh, I could name a whole bunch of Don Moncrief and some pretty well, Lauren Ornelas. But a lot of ones that are somewhat less well-known, Anthony Nocella, or Nocella, I guess his name is, and a bunch of other ones. But they're all focusing specifically on some aspect of the human rights or social justice issues that we're facing. For example, Jasmine Singer you know, heterosexism, racism, sexism, and classism, and environmental devastation. We have Richard Oberlander also writing, and Silas Rao on the environment, world hunger, war. You know, all these different human rights and social justice issues that, for the most part, no one discusses the impact in many levels of animal agriculture. So this is a book that's hoping to start a movement in this direction, like Cowspiracy is in its sphere. We're trying to do the same thing. And the good news is that today, actually just about an hour and a half ago, we attained our goal on the Indiegogo campaign. We reached our goal of $18,000, and the publisher, Casey Taft, sent out an email. I wasn't aware of it, but he sent me an email saying, "All right, we made it," you know. So I want to thank you all and everyone who helped contribute to that. We have, you know, this is a book that's going to be coming out. It's going to take it a couple more months before it's actually in print. It's an e-book and the regular, you know, book. I guess it'll be a paperback version, probably not a hardcover. And then we'll be, you know, it's just a cost, I guess, for, you know, Vegan Publishers is not a large publishing house, so they needed to do an Indiegogo campaign to raise enough money to actually publish this book that they asked me to be the editor for, and they asked me if I would sort of head up the fundraising campaign, which is not my favorite thing to do. But I said, all right, I'll do that. And so I'm glad to say that it all paid off on that level. We did meet our goal, and thanks to, I think, a lot to the people on our mailing list and other people who contributed generously, and we even actually, as perks, we have a few music and art portraits by Madeline and me. We have 8 of those offered. 6 of them have been claimed, but there are still 2 left. Anybody's interested in having a music and art portrait, I create a 30-minute piece of music, and Madeline does a 9x12 painting. I think it's the perk. I think it's for I'm not trying to sell these. I'm just letting you know. You can go to the webpage and see. But those are still left. And actually, there's still left also one dinner at the Millennium in San Francisco with us is left. So if anybody wants that. And we have also one retreat at our Karuna vegan B&B that we've just created out of thin air here in Northern California. We've only been here a year and a half. We've been working on the side, kind of creating a vegan, eco-friendly, all-solar-powered food forest, organic, vegan bed and breakfast. And so we're really happy with how it's turned out. And we've got our, you know, swimming beach and hiking trails and all that, and kayak and bicycles and whatever you want to have a vegan retreat and or just silence. And I think we just built a deck. I mean, you have a private deck and all these things. So so there's one of those left, too. And one of our wonderful World Peace Diet facilitators claimed one of them, which I'm really happy about. But we're just, you know, it's just kind of a, it's nice to see, I guess, is what I guess the point I'm making is that the community that we have, the vegan community in general, is supporting these kinds of efforts, like Cowspiracy, this book, Circles of Compassion. Colleen Patrick Goudreau also, at the same time we're doing these Indiegogo campaigns, she launched one at the same time also, just bizarre. Her book, I don't know what happened, but her book, The 30 Day Vegan Challenge, published by Random House, it was doing really well, and for some reason, which I don't understand, Random House just put it out of print. And so she did a campaign, and she's also been successful. She's reached her goal as well to publish it herself. So it's a book about how to go vegan, you know, all the ins and outs of that. So it's great to see the vegan community stepping up and supporting all these creative efforts that people are making to bring this message and to enrich the message at a deeper level into the mainstream. And this is the kind of thing we have to do, I think, if we're going to continue to help bring about this positive evolution that we're all working on, basically, within ourselves and in the outer world. So those are some of the things that have just been happening right up to the minute here, and that's the latest news. We're going to keep this campaign going It goes for another 10 days, and we'll probably just have it open in a casual way in case anybody wants to pre-order the book. You can go. You can always go to that, I guess, for another 50 days, something like that. I'll make another video. I have to make a video about that tomorrow, apparently, so I'll be putting up a video about that, just thanking everyone. And that's the news I wanted to say about those things. And if anyone wants to join us in San Francisco for the opening of Cowspiracy, I don't have my calendar in front of me. I think it's, okay, I'll tell you. It's June, the third Friday in June is, the third Thursday is the 19th. So June 19th is the special grand opening of the movie. Let us know. And then we'll probably, like I say, next month we'll have to do it on Friday night instead of Thursday. I hope that's okay with everybody. All right, so we do have someone who's raised their hand, so maybe I can take a breath here and unmute this person. You are area code 425. I think you're on a cell phone. I've unmuted your phone. Welcome.
Hello, Will. Hi, everybody. It's Pamela Zeman.
Oh, hi, Pamela. Great. Thanks. Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You got some really awesome stuff happening. And I was just on looking at Cowspiracy. I can't wait to see the rest of this trailer on YouTube. And then there's an interview with the directors as well that looks pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. They're great people. I mean, these guys are the real thing. Like I say, Kip's a Dropy Style facilitator, and they're both really just... they say they're taking a risk by, you know, personal risk to make this movie just because it's so controversial. But my hat's off to them. I think it's wonderful that you're doing it.
Yeah. So most people are probably aware of this, but just in case they aren't, like when you go to these YouTube sites, you've got 78 thumbs up and 0 thumbs down. So Google really looks at all that, and I've had. Like, when I do my videos, some of my friends, people will say, wow, I really like that or whatever. And I'm always thinking, if you could just say a comment on the site, you know, for people looking at Cowspiracy or anything, when you make comments and when you like it or when you subscribe to it, it really makes a huge difference. So if you think, well, it's no big deal, I'll just read this or I'll just listen to it and then go on with something else. If you could take just a second to just hit the thumbs up or make a little comment, it all makes a big difference.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for, I really appreciate you making that point, because I wasn't really sure myself if that made much of a difference, but you're saying that it does in the big picture.
It does.
We have, yeah.
Yeah, I've been hard at it the last couple of weeks, really studying with the some of the marketers of YouTube and all of this stuff, and it's a lot to learn, but the bottom line is the more interaction you have, the better. So, it's even a small little comment like great job or whatever, that all makes a difference.
Right. Awesome. And tell me, you know, I just got an email from you not too long ago that you've got a new book out, I guess, on Amazon. Can you tell us a little bit about your process with that? That's exciting.
Yeah, sure. It's an e-book. My other book is a real book on Amazon, but I just wanted to get an e-book out there for tips for people. The name of it is Can You Be a Vegan and Still Have Friends? And then in subtitle, Over for Dinner. And people have really liked the title a lot. It's kind of funny, and yet it tells you, you know, pretty much what the book's going to be about. So it's going, you know, it's like once you write the book, you know, then you got to market it. You know, you really got to put it out there. So that's a big part of it. You got to market it too.
Right, exactly. You know, you think writing the book and then I'm done. Well, I did my job. I wrote the book. And then you realize you worked at the beginning.
I know. Even though it's on Amazon Kindle, it's on Book, it's on all these different sites, it's still, I just really have to keep putting it out there and just keep talking about it. And, you know, you asked me about my process before, and I was looking at all my YouTubes, and I did this little promotion because I heard from one guy, if you put the same title, if you put the same keyword in the title, in the description, and the tag when you post it, and you do that consistently for many videos, it really helps a lot. So I did that with the word vegan. I put it everywhere, and I made, you know, a friend of mine interviewed me, so I had like 10 different clips, little 2 to 3 minute clips of vegan in the title. And those got like hardly any views, which was a little discouraging. But then when I put the benefits in the title, like reduce inflammation or something like that, then the views went up a lot. It really made a huge difference. And I personally find that when I focus on the benefits, like you can reduce inflammation or you can do this, you can do that, I get a lot more views, a lot more sharings and all of that. And for a while, it was just like all vegan. It's just like all 100%, let's just go and say, let's be vegan. But personally, I find I'm getting a lot better results when I talk about people's problems and what they want to do in their life. And recently, I did this 10-day cleanse that I really loved a lot, and I'm putting that out there. And my strategy now is just to show up and look as good as I can, you know, and be as happy as I can and as positive as I can. And eventually, it always comes around to them asking me, well, do you eat this or that? And then I can say, no, I'm vegan. And then I just go on with whatever. Like I'm doing salad dressing talk on Saturday, and it'll be the same thing. I'll just say, it's a vegan ranch dressing, and once you taste it, it's fabulous. And so that's been my process lately and what's working for me.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think that's, you know, you're making it sound like it's you're just taking it all in stride, and that's what it is, and it's delicious, and you're happy, and it works great for you, and that kind of thing, basically.
Yeah. I heard somebody say the other day, they said being right is highly overrated.
Being right. Yeah.
I think that's so true. You know, it's just like when we go out there and we want to be right about it, and we have that kind of energy infused with our talk, it is so overrated, and we just don't get the results. Right now, I've been doing this for not as long as you, but you know, I've been doing it a while, and now my bottom line is I just want to get some results. You know, I just want to see that people are reading this stuff, that they're actually making better choices and all of it. So, yes.
Yes. Great.
So, last thing I wanted to say, I love your story about the hand towel.
Oh, really?
the hand towel, yeah, because when I was doing this cleanse, you can have a little flex food. And in one of my videos, I just showed people, it's like, this is an orange pepper. And I cut it up, and I made a flower out of it, and it was really beautiful. And I say, this used to not look like much to me, you know, like just eating one orange pepper, that's it. But it looks so beautiful, and it just got me thinking that I don't have to be this consumer that just consumes so much. And so, yeah, that's where it's at, is simplicity.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. It's like it's like challenging the old habits that we're given in our society, that we have to have more and big and that's better and be comfortable, because you're not going to be happy if you don't have all this around you. And I found that, you know, when I really minimalize everything, I appreciated everything a lot more.
Totally.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks so much, Pamela, and I want to encourage everyone to, do you want to tell us, is there anything we should know about if we want to see what you see your YouTube channel or see your new book? I mean, is there anything?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is just go to elementalcuisine.com, and then if you scroll down past the video, you're going to see a little YouTube icon. If you click on that icon, you'll see all the videos I've done.
Great. Elementalcuisine.com.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. Yep, and there's a note. Yeah, I have your link also in the May resources, so people can, when you can look at that too. All right, well, thanks so much for joining us. Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Yeah, bye. Great. So, if there's anybody else, if you'd like to say anything, have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate. We're... you know, that's what this is all about. I mean, the whole idea, I guess, there's a couple of ideas, but one is for us to share I mean, for me to share some of my thoughts and feelings as things evolve here in our society. And then, of course, also if you have any questions you'd like to ask either me or have responses from me or the community, issues that you're wondering about. There's been a lot of things coming up lately in the in various places. I've noticed in the World Peace Diet Facebook group, the World Peace Diet Facilitator group, the in our own community forums, there's been quite a few things. It's great to see people discussing things. I'm so incredibly grateful, I have to just say, to Stefan Goodwin for, you know, he's this person, I don't know what to say about somebody like him, but he has single-handedly translated the entire World Peace Diet into French, and then, which is much more difficult, I mean, that's a huge job, just to translate a book into another language, but then, and he lives in France, and he just did it, you know, on his own. He just thought, well, this book, you know, I want this book to come out in French. And then, of course, I found it's quite difficult to find a publisher who's willing to take the risk financially to publish a vegan book, especially in Europe. It seems to be very difficult. So he went on a whole other campaign to find a publisher for the book in French, and that meant making a whole website for the book, contacting dozens and dozens of publishers and getting no. And then, but anyway, eventually he got a yes, and the book is now going to be published in French. And we've got a publication date. It's going to be over the summer, I believe, and the contract and everything else. And then he turned around and he translated the entire World Peace Diet into German himself again. I mean, he speaks German, French, and English. And so, and on top of that, we could never find a publisher. I mean, I had tried to find a publisher for this because Madeline is Swiss. You know, we've been in Switzerland. We've been, you know, it's like, and he's gotten a publisher in German too, a good publisher, and for the World Peace Diet. And so it's going to be, we have an August release date for the World Peace Diet in German. I mean, talk about one person. I'm in awe of Stefan, really, the amount of, not only the sheer amount of time and work, but just the loving devotion to the cause, for doing it for animals, really. Just doing it for animals, doing it for the people, doing it for the earth, just working without any, really, expectation of any reward. I'm continually humbled by the beautiful people who are in our movement, you know, so many fantastic people. It's just really, it's just great to see. And the unsung heroes of the world, it's good to sing their praises now and then. And I think all of you, I know all of you here on this call, you're doing tremendous work in the communities that you are in. So I want to thank you all for that. I noticed, let's see, there's another person who has put their hand up. Area code 561, also a cell phone, so I'm not sure of the name, but I'll go ahead and unmute your phone just because I don't want you to wait too long. Yeah, go ahead. I just unmuted your phone.
Okay. My name is Tara. Hi, Will. This is really wonderful. I've listened to the World Peace Diet for 2.5 or 3 years, and in my car, driving around my home area in Florida and also over through the Midwest, where I was going to visit various family during summer vacation. So I took that with me, and at that time, I shortly became a vegan.
Great.
And I've just been really thrilled to. I must say I'm really slow on the uptake as far as being, you know, being on the internet and all that. I've probably told hundreds of people about it verbally.
Great. It's fine.
Yeah, just, you know, over these years, kind of organically spreading the word, grassroots like. This is my first time on this call, which has been really fascinating, but I feel kind of like lost with all the various movements and books and, you know, the campaign you were talking about. I don't know if you were talking about two different things when you said the 30-day vegan campaign. Did I get that right?
Yeah, actually, yes,
which is
three,
a book.
Three different, yeah, right, three different campaigns. Yeah, three. It was the one, you know, the Circles of Compassion, which is the one for that I've been working on specifically, and then Colleen Patrick Goudreau's book. She's doing a fundraising campaign also successfully for her book, The 30-Day Vegan Challenge, and then Cowspiracy, the movie. They're doing a fundraising campaign for that one. So there's actually three different campaigns. It's all online, though. Yeah, you're right.
What was the last one again? I'm sorry, I was writing.
Yeah, the last one is the movie, upcoming film,
oh,
documentary film called Cowspiracy. Instead of Conspiracy,
oh, okay.
Cowspiracy. Right, and that, and I'm actually, I'm one of the people interviewed in that movie along with, you know, a lot of other people too, but that's another a great new resource that's coming. Because there hasn't really been, you know, somebody wrote to me and asked if I knew a film that they could show in their community college in Oregon where they were that would talk about animal agriculture and the environment. And there really is not a good film about that that I'm aware of. And so it's great that I can say, well, this Cowspiracy is coming out, maybe you can show that. So that's it's a really good film, I think.
That's exciting. And I live in cow country right now. We just moved on to a 10-acre track, and it didn't have anything, just a barn.
Is it in Florida?
In Florida, yeah, near Sarasota.
Wow.
Myakka River,
yeah.
It's a really nice wild area still, kind of a lot of wild animals are here and a real
a
great
refuge.
Oh, alligators for sure, but there's a lot of raccoons, coyotes, even an occasional bear and panther, a lot of birds.
Yeah.
Foxes,
beautiful.
We have tons of, you know, all that stuff, and quite a few little pygmy rattlesnakes are always popping up around the property.
Right.
So, keeps you on your toes. But
yes,
I found you, I just wanted to put a couple of little notes in. I found you at the Deer Run, your book.
Oh, really?
In both forms. At Deer Run, you know what I'm saying, the bed and breakfast in the Keys.
Right, on Big Pine Key, right.
In Big Pine Key. What a beautiful place. Oh, my gosh. All vegan, organic. And,
right. Ken and Harry
they,
are really good friends of ours. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we stay down there every year, almost every year for a month for the last 15 years. We were down there for the month of January.
Oh, so, January. That's a good time to be there.
Yeah.
And
that's neat. Wow.
And I kind of got a little sidetracked away from, you know, the active movement. I was, like, really going with the website and everything, your website. And then I got lost in, you know, in traffic, being on the farm and stuff for a while, and then I re-encountered it through Lily, finding her and the
Sunday night. The Sunday night. Sunday? Oh, great!
So I'm really excited to be part of that movement and getting the dog vegan dog food from Evolution and
right.
talking to Eric and then so you know getting my feet wet again and I was going to ask you a question. Would you like to comment at all about the need that like I've been there's a place called the Holistic Health for Pets here in Sarasota, Florida. I asked them if they had vegan dog food, you know, and they looked at me askance, you know, like, how could you think of that? That would be so cruel to, you know, to take the meat away from these carnivores, these natural meat-eating animals. And so I've been, you know, kind of in a discussion with them about, you know, looking a little further at that issue.
Right. Right.
And
well,
they're not
so
very
you,
open about it.
So you want, I mean, if you the problem is, of course, the whole veterinary profession is based on animal abuse. You know, it's a, I mean, you know, would you want to go to a doctor who's eating people, you know? I mean, these veterinarians are eating the very animals they're working on, basically, and very similar. I mean, they're trained, and they're trained. Unfortunately, very often, I think they start out perhaps wanting to be veterinarians because they care, so-called care about animals. But the entire veterinary training teaches them that animals are things to be used for profit, basically, and we take care of them, but they're not. They're not really respected as beings in the veterinary training process. And so the American Veterinary, I think it's the AVA, Veterinary Association, is one of the most terrible enemies to animals that there is. I mean, they have approved the most horrible, violent methods being used on in animal agriculture, for example. They've said it's fine for chickens to be drawn up alive, you know, and so forth. So in wood chippers and so forth, that has the blessing of the American Veterinary Association. There is AVAR, the Association of Veterinarians for Animal Rights. So that's obviously a much smaller organization, but it's veterinarians, a small subgroup of veterinarians who are for animal rights. And so I would suggest, if you can get on the internet at all,
okay,
look up AVAR, and you'll find veterinarians who are sympathetic, who are vegan, and who understand that dogs thrive on a plant-based diet, that they're omnivores. I mean, they're opportunistic, and they don't have to eat animal flesh at all, most dogs. There's also a wonderful veterinarian. I think it's probably fine if I just mention her. A lot of you may have heard of her already. Armaiti May, Armaiti, Armaiti May. She's a veterinarian in Los Angeles area. And I think if you can just Google vegan veterinarian, she will come up probably. And Armaiti is a great friend of ours, and she can talk to any veterinarian about the issues of feeding dogs meat or not, and cats too. She's very knowledgeable. She's a veterinarian, but of course, you've got Eric Wise, you've got Evolution, you've got a lot of other. There's Feed Dog. Our good friend David Middlesworth is a fantastic vegan dog food that dogs are thriving on. Also. So there's really, they're completely in the dark. It's similar to doctors saying, I'm going to quit smoking for my health. You know, back in the 50s, they'd say, what do you mean? You know, smoking is good for your health. What are you talking about? You know, So you got to show them, this is absurd. You're feeding them. Typical dog food is so toxic. It's the worst of the worst. But dogs don't need to eat meat to be healthy, and the experience that people have typically with dogs is that they're much, they're just much healthier without eating meat. Their coat is glossier, and their breath is fresher, and they have more energy and all that. So I think that's an important point to address with them. And if you can't find, maybe you should try to find, it's always good to educate veterinarians too, or doctors if you can. But sometimes it's like talking to a wall, they're just not going to listen. So then in that case, I always say the best thing we can do is plant seeds and then don't be attached to the outcome. Just plant them. Plant as many as you can, as skillfully as you can, with love and respect, but clearly and firmly, and use your intuition to guide you in what to say, and then let go of it. Don't think, oh, it didn't work, you didn't change, or whatever. You don't know. I mean, a lot of times people don't look like they're changing, and they really are changing, or they look like they're really changing, and they're really not changing. So, just keep planting seeds, do the best you can, and live it yourself. The more you're living the vegan message, people get that, and they'll take you much more seriously. And I think that's why I love this group, because, all right, the whole idea with our group is, to go as deeply as we can ourselves, living what the vegan message, and that let our lives, as Gandhi said, let my life be my message. If we let our lives be our message, we can't go wrong. You know, we might lose an argument, but we can't. But if we're living a lifestyle that exemplifies our values, no one can argue with that, and people will intuitively pick up on it. And that's what I think helps the changes happen, actually, when people, just the look we give them, the way we talk to them, and our experience that we can share with them and be respectful and listen to them as well. And I think, and then don't be attached to the outcome. Just plant the seeds and then let it go. I think that's the best recipe in general for not only being a good advocate, but just in general, just to be being a more happy person as well, because we can't change other people, but we can change ourselves. So thanks so much for bringing that message to people in the Yaka River area. That was one of Mel and I favorite places when we were in Florida in the winters, was to go kayaking on the Yaka River and stay in the state park there. It's really a beautiful place, and it's one of the treasures, I think, really, of Florida.
Yeah, they do have a beautiful setup there, and it's kind of amazing. It's not a real, like forward progressive area some ways, but yet it's quite a wonderful park, an enlightened park.
Well, in the Sarasota, you've got a great vegetarian or vegan community there. I've spoken there quite a few times over the years, and it's great. You know, you can hook in with those people too, perhaps. And Sarasota is a great place, really, I think, for veganism.
I know. I feel very blessed and amazed that I came from West Palm Beach just like a year ago, and now I feel like I really stepped into a really higher ground as far as awareness goes.
Right.
In some areas, anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That can be helpful. All right. Well, we've got quite a few people with their hands up here. So I'm going to, is that okay? We can go on.
Thank
to somebody
you.
Else? Great.
And I'm,
all right.
I pass.
Thanks so much, Tara. I appreciate it. Good hearing from you. Thanks for
You're
joining
welcome.
Us. Yeah.
Keep going. Keep doing.
Thanks. Okay, so thanks so much, Tara. I think it was Tara from Flora, from Sarasota. And Shanti, I noticed you have your hand up, so go ahead. Do you have something you'd like to say or whatever?
Hi.
I
have a question.
Yes.
I have a friend who has become vegan in the past maybe 3 months. And she is a strong, strong vegan activist already.
Uh-huh.
She reads everything. She watches every video. She can't get enough. But what's happened is she has become very angry, and she has become very sad, and she has the weight of the world on her shoulders. And I tell her that we have to be role models of happiness, that we can't come out as angry people, because then who else would want to be like us? And
she
says, well, you know what, Shanti, you were angry in the beginning also. And I says, that is true. Can you give me an insight into something that I can share with her to make her understand, feel a little better, help her along this path?
Right. Well, everyone has a personal journey that only they can take. You know, we can't take the journey for someone else. And I think that when we go vegan in the beginning and we start to wake up and see the horrific violence towards animals that is covered up by our society, it's almost natural and healthy to go through a stage of outrage, anger, disappointment, despair, sadness, grief, horror, depression, all of that, because we realize we're in a society that has been hiding this huge dark side, really, from us and from itself, and that our best friends and relatives not only do they not just go along with us and change the way we've changed, but they resist, they judge us, and our relationships with people start to go on the rocks very often, and we lose our friends. That's the hardest part of going vegan, I think, is the social rejection that we can feel from other people, and the sense of alienation and isolation, because meals are the primary way that we bond with other people. And so, we find that they always want to take us out to restaurants where they're eating animal flesh, and we just don't want to go there. We don't want to see it. It makes us feel like we're eating with savages or hypocrites or shallow, uncaring people. How can we, they don't want us to talk about it. How can we, not talk about it? That's like there's whole parts of us that they don't even want to know. They don't really care about us. They don't like us. And so it's easy, I think, without proper support, external support from a vegetarian group or relationships with other people, some kind, and internal support, which I think is important also, to have some kind of a meditation practice, spiritual practice, creative process of some kind. It's possible to get into a downward spiral, and I think that's one of the reasons. A lot of people do go vegan, and for ethical reasons, and end up, if you talk to them after, as I said before, 4 or 5 years later, they're not vegan anymore. And it's not because they don't care about animals anymore, but their health didn't know how to do it properly. And doctors, of course, typically health professionals in general, are very antagonistic and can hypnotize us into thinking we need to eat meat to be healthy, or dairy, or eggs, or something, which is absurd. Or it's the constant social pressure that people feel. And so when they can eat a little meat or eat a little cheese, suddenly they fit in again, and everything's back to everything, then everything's good again. So that's why I think it's wonderful that your friend is making an effort to really learn, because I think that the main things that you can offer her for support is to encourage her to keep learning, keep learning about what it's all about, what's happening, what has happened historically, the environmental costs, the health devastation, the cultural devastation, the violence towards the animals. The more people really understand the bigger picture, I think the more immune we become to, for lack of a better word, kind of like, what's the word they use? They say backsliding, I think. And then I was in West Virginia in the 19th, backsliding was, going back. But I think, informing is one important thing. And then perhaps, you can share with her the idea that as vegans, you can say that Will Tuttle has written an article. You can maybe share the article if you can find it. It's up on One Green Planet, I think, about the stages that vegans typically go through. The initial stage where we're just learning. It's sort of a shallow stage because we don't really understand things, but we're learning quickly. And then the middle stage of the angry vegan stage. It's a stage, but we shouldn't get stuck there forever. We shouldn't stay there, too long, hopefully. And then we move on to another stage that some people go through is the closet state. Okay, now I'm not going to tell anybody I'm vegan. I'm just going to pretend that I'm normal like everybody else, and then finally we can get through those stages. But toward more positive, really, I think, wonderfully empowering stages where we're authentically living our lives, where we have a deep feeling of inner peace, of a sense of tenderness and mercy towards animals and even towards people who are eating animal foods, because we realize that they're also really slaves to a system of violence, that they're not eating meat from their own choice, but they're just following orders because they're afraid to question them at some deeper level. And so we see that it doesn't help to be angry with them. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help us. How people get to that point, I think it's important, though, to let people get to it authentically. And I've seen some great examples on the World Peace Society group of people There's a few people that come to my mind who've really, at certain times, written posts on this Facebook group that are so condemning of meat eaters and hateful of meat eaters and ranchers and people who don't change. And then how they somehow, and sometimes it took several years to get to the point of just softening their heart and realizing that as long as they're holding these attitudes of judgment and anger and criticism and blame, that not only are they much less effective as an advocate, but they're going to be miserable themselves, really. And to actively practice cultivating gratitude and joy and a sense of loving kindness for everyone, no matter who they are, because that's really what veganism is. I mean, veganism is not a mentality of exclusion. You know, veganism is a mentality of inclusion. That's what it is. I mean, the whole only reason we can eat animals is because we exclude them. So as soon as I'm angry and judgmental of others, I'm not being a vegan, right? I mean, I'm excluding them from my compassion, blaming them, judging them, and so forth, and being sort of offended, you know, by their behavior. And all of that reduces not only our effectiveness, but our happiness. So you can't lie your way out of it. I mean, I don't want to tell her just to not be honest about what she's feeling, but to let her know that you love her and care about her and want to support her, and that it's great that she's continuing to inform herself, but it's that this hopefully will, she can see it as a stage, and to just keep feeding herself not just good, healthy, vegan food. And that's very important. I would really emphasize that to her also, to be careful to eat whole foods, health, because a lot of people go vegan, and when they're angry, they're eating vegan junk foods, and it makes them really sick. I mean, some vegan junk foods are terrible.
She's eating healthy, and she's having a very difficult time because her husband will not go vegan.
Oh, yeah.
At least
yeah.
not for right now.
Right. That can be the hardest, one of the hardest. That makes it very sticky sometimes. But, yeah, so in that case,
contributes to her anger.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know I actually know a number of well-known vegan activists who are married to non-vegans, you know, and to me it's amazing. I don't think I could do it really, but I think if she can, you know, she has to really work with that situation. There's some good books too. I mean, there's a good recent book that just came out by the woman we had on our call here about a year and a half ago. She lives in Sarasota. That's funny. She wrote the book How to Be a Vegan on $4 a Day. I'm trying to blank on her name right now. But it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, she's written a book about being a vegan when you're married to a non-vegan or in a long-term relationship with someone who's not. And tips and tricks and how to have a kitchen. Policies where you, as a vegan, you feel honored and so forth. But there's a lot of it would be great for her just to seek support from other vegans wherever she can, online or locally, because otherwise she's going to probably feel that she's in a battle with him, and they're both going to lose that. So. Just to be realize that people evolve at different rates, and her husband may or may not change. You know, you don't know for sure that he will. So you have to just live your life as a joyful, happy vegan, no matter what.
Thank you very much. Oh. You've given me lots to take back.
Great, Shanti, and thank you. And how's your book going? You have a book, too. This is so wonderful. I have all these people coming out with books.
Yeah, I do. Dear World, See What I See. It's going when I am out there. So tomorrow night I'm speaking, and we're doing a little coffee house thing. And next week I have my first presentation in high school.
Oh, good.
Remember you had Lorena on?
Right, Lorena.
Well, I've hooked up with her, and she's taught me what she knows, and I'm going to go into a high school next week.
Wow, that's inspiring. I love that. So that's great. So that's a direct result of our call of a number of months back when we had Lorena on, and she talked about Well, it's fantastic. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for doing that. And you're right. It's getting out there and just and you've taken all the Toastmaster training, so you're more confident speaking, and that's all excellent. Yeah, that's great.
And if you do get a chance, go on Amazon and read the reviews.
Great idea. Yeah,
they're
they're
so heartwarming.
Great. All right. I think that I'd like to encourage everyone to do that. As Pamela said, you know, we can go to Amazon, we can read reviews, we can write our own too, which really supports the people who are doing the kind of work that we want to support. So let's do that. All right, Shanti, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Great.
Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Okay, so we've got, this has been really wonderful to hear from some of these folks. We have, let's see, we only have about 10 minutes. Lily, I noticed that you have your hand up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute your phone, Lily, and then we have just going to kind of wrap up with some final news here. But, okay, so
I will.
Okay, hi. Yes.
Hello,
yes.
Everyone. You know, both Shanti and Tara addressed two issues of my heart, and those issues are, one, vegan pets. As you know, I have 6 cats, and they're all seniors now. Some of them have been raised vegan from the time that they were a year old. I have I've been a vegan almost 8 years because of the World Peace Diet. And my cats and dogs both eat evolution diet. And my dogs are 8 and 9, and my cats are 9 through 15. And they are thriving. My 15-year-old runs around here like a kitten with bright eyes. And they have none of the skin problems that animals that are on that horrible diet. And we have Dr. Eric Wiseman every week. He has become a regular on the World Peace Diet Study Group that that was a group that I started because I didn't know what else to do. I'm not online here, so I'm very acquainted with PhoneBridge, and so it's, people call it a show, and believe me, it gets very lively. And I wanted to tell Shanti that one of the times when you came on did address the issue of a bitter vegan person who was just getting more and more bitter, and now it's very good. It's a taped taped version of the World Peace Diet Study Group. It was one of the few that I've taped. But I created the World Peace Diet Study Group so that I wouldn't become a bitter vegan, because I'm way out here in cattle country. I'm way out here in the boonies, as you well know, Will. You've been here. And most of these very so-called peace, love, dove aware people are not vegan. And so I was starting to become one of those bitter people, and I wanted to have to create vegan phone bridge community, and it's working. I have people now that I absolutely love, and we're in touch with each other daily sometimes. Tara is one of them. I love her. I mean, people are she talked to you just a little before, Shanti.
Right.
So, I want to encourage people to use the World Peace Diet Study Group as a tool of their activism. It's a beautiful way to read the World Peace Diet in community and read it slowly and carefully. We're on the 7th or I think the 8th chapter now. Were the metaphysics of food. It's the 8th chapter. And I'm telling you, it's been breathtaking. There are times it's absolutely breathtaking, and Eric Wiseman has had his product for over 25 years. He created a vegan pet food for dogs, cats, and ferrets. So it has a track record. Otherwise, it wouldn't still be in business.
Right.
And I can see by my own beautiful pets who I love. I love them as much as if I'd given birth to them. I love these animals. I love these animals. And I wouldn't give them anything. I mean, I would not. I would have had to adopt them out. I could not stand the idea of giving my beautiful pets, other beautiful beings, so that I could have pets. I just couldn't do
right.
it, not after the World Peace Diet. So I just wanted to make those two points, and I want to give out the number for the World
yes.
Peace Diet Study Group. Use it as a tool. Use it as a tool that people say, oh, now that I've got this, I feel not so alone as a vegan.
Right.
That was my intention, because I didn't want to feel so alone as a vegan. It's just like Will wanted a book that made all the connections between war and why people are the way they are and what they're eating, and he couldn't find such a book. He did it for himself. And we get to have the benefit, because he wanted to read it, so he wrote it himself. I created the study group because I wanted to have it. I wanted to read the World Peace Diet slowly. I've read it 5 times. I think I've listened to it maybe 25 times, and I live
wow.
it. I am a student of the World Peace Diet, and I am an ambassador for the World Peace Diet whenever I show up in the world. That's the bottom line. That's all I want to do. That's all I care to do. Now, I may put some writing out there of my own, but that's irrelevant by comparison to what the World Peace Diet is. And so that's why I'm committed to doing this every Sunday. I started it in October, and we haven't missed a single Sunday, October of last year. So here it is. It's 712-432-3900. I'm going to repeat the number, and then I'll give you the PIN code, 712-432-3900, and the PIN code is 568-364-pound. And plug your people into it. It's a great tool. I've had people who actually didn't even know that it was a vegan study group, not vegan at all, keep coming back week after week saying, if it takes changing my food choices to become more enlightened, I'm in. So we get all kinds of people. And
thank you, Lily. Oh gosh, it's great. I really appreciate you calling in and not only reminding us, but I think a lot of people are hearing this in a way for the first time too, because the whole idea, like you say, is as we share this with others in a way that we feel is appropriate, there will be people that will pick up on that and be grateful for it. And it's such an empowering way to build a vegan community and help people not end up stuck in the alienated, isolated stage. And that's the whole reason we're doing the circle, too. So thanks, Lily.
Thank you, Will.
Great. Okay, well, our love to Jim, your wonderful husband, who we've met, who is an 80-something-year-old former wonderful vegan, who jumped right in with Lily. And that number again is 712-432-3900, and the code is 568-364-POUND. It's also, if you just go to worldpeacediet.org, it's right there on our website, always. You can always see it, or just go to our schedule. Our lecture schedule, by the way, is filling up with some great vegan lectures. So if you go to our lecture schedule, just go to World Peace Diet or to and Tara actually is helping us. Tara, who lives here in California, is helping us with our website, worldpeacediet.com. It's going to become the new real main website now. And we have access to our schedule there, and you can see Lily's World Peace Diet Sunday, which is 5 p.m., Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, every Sunday. There's no charge, and going through the World Peace Diet, just reading it, which is, I think, really a fantastic idea. So thank you so much, Lily, for sharing that, and all of you who have been part of that. I've been on that a few times myself. I think it's a wonderful thing. I just want to go through a couple things, and then we're going to wrap it up here. So I know we've been on for almost an hour and a half, so it's time to wrap up. Thank you all so much again for joining us. In the May resources, just to draw your attention to a couple of news items, we have this a new website dedicated to helping people overcome animal food addiction. I think that's a good sign to see that there's actually now a recognition that animal food addiction is an actual addiction that can be worked with, and that's really what we're in many ways a good way to look at it, I think. There's a great article by Matthew Scully famous as the former Bush speechwriter, a right-wing Republican, but he really gets the message in many ways about animals. And he, we talked last month, Judy talked about seeing the movie Noah, and he writes about Noah, and he really writes, I think, very well about the message of compassion for animals and veganism that's in this movie that's a huge hit. And how even though the Christians, the fundamentalists, are kind of yelling and screaming that it's not really Christian, he's saying this really is Christian. You know, the teachings of Jesus were all about mercy and kindness and compassion and caring and sustainability for the environment and caring for God's creation. And the meat eaters, of course, are the ones that are the evil ones. And I think it's, I haven't seen the movie. I just would like to see it. We live kind of in the boondocks and it hasn't worked. But I've heard some that it's a good movie for us to see. So I wanted to mention that. This new study, this is amazing. Childhood dairy consumption triples the risk of colorectal cancer, the most common form of cancer. Colorectal cancer, dairy consumption, tripling the risk of that. I think, I mean, how much do we need to learn about this before we stop? It's amazing. I love this article. Just check this out. Losing a memory quiz to a chimpanzee. It's amazing to watch this chimpanzee in action, how she can, on a computer screen, instantly memorize these numbers, flash up for just, you know, like a half a second. And she's just so much more skilled in her memory than any human being. No human being can ever match this chimpanzee. So there's this whole idea that humans, that we are the apex of creation and we have all these abilities and animals don't have any. I mean, even something as basic as looking on a computer screen or remembering numbers, chimpanzees are far superior to any human. And I think it's, again, it's a good for us to have a little humility, and it's a good, great article for that. I love this article that Pope is now being petitioned to lead the campaign to stop killing lambs for Easter. I mean, how poetic is that? You know, the Pope should stop the killing of lambs. I mean, Jesus is supposedly, you know, the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. And what are we doing killing sheep ourselves? So to have this pressure on the Pope, I think, is a great idea. Stephen Wise, this very interesting animals as persons case, first time ever it's gone actually into court that chimpanzees are actually people and can be protected. And cutting down, this most recent study, cutting down the Amazon rainforest at an acre per second. I mean, this is, you know, I say this in my lectures, and it's interesting that it's still, I mean, this is not abated. It's still going on. It's devastating, but it's very important to be aware of this. I love this pro football player, David Carson, this one vegan from the Oakland Raiders. And I love the end of his interview. He said something like, I don't have it exactly in my mind, but it was great to hear it coming from this macho. He's like a defensive lineman, among the toughest person in the toughest sport. And he said that he went vegan initially for health reasons because his recovery time is so much better, but now he does it for animals and the earth. And he can't stand the idea of harming animals who are innocent. And he said at the end, the thing I'm most happy about is that I had the balls to go vegan. Isn't that great? I mean, a tough pro football player is saying that the thing that he's most proud of is that he had the balls to go vegan. I mean, that's something I think we can really remember when we're talking to these so-called macho guys that don't want to go vegan. There's also, I just draw your attention to this Michael Greger's video on food and the causes of death. This is a classic. I saw this the first time he presented at this Vegetarian Summerfest a couple of years ago. But he goes through the 20 most common causes of death, from number one, heart disease, number two, strokes, number three, cancer, number four, I can't remember what they were, diabetes and different things, liver disease, kidney disease, autoimmune disease, various kinds, and literally shows clearly how 19 out of 20 are definitively and directly caused by animal food consumption. So some great, this is a nice video with our good friend Don Weaver on the keys to veganic gardening. I want to talk about that sometime here. Madeline and I are are creating our own vegan garden here. We've planted now about almost 25 fruit and nut trees, and we're doing it all veganically with no animal inputs, and it's really exciting. We're eating huge amounts of food all year round now. I mean, really, she comes in every morning. Mala comes in every morning. Actually, she goes out in the garden with a basket full of greens and strawberries and now tomatoes and other things, and we put in our green smoothie, and then we eat for lunch, and we eat for dinner, and now the garden's, I mean, it's just going to get started here, but it's so great growing our own food. I mean, we've been growing our own sprouts for years. Even in the RV, I'm kind of a sprout guy. But I think there's something really empowering about growing your own food. So we should talk more about that. And there's a couple of great, this right here in Petaluma, we're in Northern California, but this amazing story of how 9 million pounds of bad meat were sent into the meat supply by this, can you imagine, 9 million pounds have been recalled. It's just, you know, I mean, how can we even imagine that tragedy, the scale of that tragedy? Also, our good friend Amy Hamlin in New York had the idea, she said in the article, it's her idea, to have a vegetarian public school, and there is one now in Queens, New York. It's a completely vegetarian public school, and it's mainly vegan. I mean, it's actually, if you read the article, it's they have most of the time it's vegan. And so it's moving in that. So it's wonderful to see how healthy the kids are, how they just love it. There's no, you know, there's no problem with them not liking the food and so forth. So it's a fascinating article. But anyway, there is a lot of good news in the world. We are making progress. I know there's huge challenges also. But moving forward, it's really time to wrap up another World Peace Tide Circle. It's been terrific. Thank you all for participating in the time that we've been able to share together here. And I want to just tell you I look forward to our next call. Again, another reminder that it'll be the third Friday. I think Wednesday night I'll be speaking in San Francisco. And then Thursday night, I'll be speaking in San Francisco again. So we'll probably, we have our old 71 Volkswagen bus. We'll probably stay in that. I've got that kind of restored. So I think Friday night would be the best. And I'll be speaking in Sacramento, in Las Vegas, and in between now and then in Chico. It's actually the first time doing a talk with the Dharma Voices for Animals, which is a Buddhist group, a relatively new Buddhist group that's trying to bring veganism into the Buddhist community. So I'll be giving a whole, in Chico, California, a whole workshop on Buddhist practice, meditation, veganism, being an effective vegan advocate, and meditation practice. So if you're interested, or you know anybody in the Chico, Sacramento, kind of Grass Valley area, that'll be happening. It's 2 days, Friday night and Saturday morning. And then Sunday, and then also in Modesto, I'll be speaking. Also in Fresno, on our way down to Las Vegas, probably also Bakersfield, I think. So anyway, we've got that coming up, and then the Veg Fest in Denver, Colorado, and in Buffalo, New York, and one in Michigan, and Cincinnati, of course, is coming up in the fall. But and also Sonoma County, there's going to be one here in August. So just be aware of all those things at Veg Fest here. I'll be speaking at that. And otherwise, like Scoop Nitzker always said, if you don't like the news, we can always make some of our own. We can always, in our own initiative, create context. As Lily is showing us, as Shanti and Lorena, and as good old Kip Anderson with his movie, Cowspiracy, and all of it, really, in so many ways. We each have a way we can plug in to make our life a more contributing factor, I think, really, to the healing of our world. There's no one right thing to do. Whatever you feel in your heart you're drawn to do, the main thing is to, as the great Goethe said, you know, just to step in and do it, and the forces begin to align up with us in that, of the universe, to support us. And so much love to you all. Thanks so much for joining us on this call this evening. And we look forward to our call again in June. And in the meantime, let's stay in touch. And we'll close with Duck Song. Here's the Duck Song. Enjoy. Much love to you all from Madeline and me, and have a great month. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you.